Welcome to AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White. I'm here with this week's message. Before we get started, let's start with a word of prayer, and if you would join me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being able to get together again this week. Our state is once again, going into lockdown. People are having to live stream their services. People are having to not go out to eat, to not be able to go to friends' houses and all because of this COVID-19, this coronavirus. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll be with us, help us through this pandemic as the second surge goes through, and just be with us, Lord, as help us through it, help us to get by, to stay healthy, not get this virus. Those that have gotten it, put your healing hands on them, Lord, and help them out. We just ask you to be with us, keep us safe. Each and every day, we ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Yeah, go ahead. Magnify the name of the Lord. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name, Father. Thank you.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, I know that you would see the miracle of love that took me. And its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a I've ever seen or done, and how could I dare to claim as mine all the victories my God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me till at this place? I'm here to say that I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner. I breath of life I take. I'm loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved. Now I'm living, breathing in freedom. With each breath of life I take,
Our scripture lesson this week comes from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. That's Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. This is known as the parable of the talents. Starting at verse 14, "For it is just like a man going on a journey. He called his own slaves and turned over his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Then he went on a journey, and immediately the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 talents, and look, I've earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." Then the man with 2 talents also approached, and he said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents, and look, I earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." Then the man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, "Master, I know you. You're a difficult man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground, and look, you have what is yours." But his master replied to him, "You evil, lazy slave. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers. And when I returned, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And throw this good-for-nothing slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Now, I know we just went over this scripture here a few weeks ago, but there's always something to be said about revisiting the scriptures, because sometimes we can find good news in rereading the scriptures. Now, good news makes us feel happy. Like when you return home after being away for a time, your dog meets you and wags its tail, showing happiness, and that you came home, that's good news to your dog. There are many things that make us happy, and when we feel that way, we usually want to share our happiness with others. If something wonderful happens while, say, you're at school, you may want to feel like you can hardly wait to get home and tell mom and dad. There's lots of ways to share good news. Maybe you had a good day at work, or you got some good news at work, and you can't wait to get home and tell your husband or your wife about it. Maybe it's a headline in the newspaper that describes some great thing that has happened or a happy event that may be reported, say, on radio or TV. And you might want to email your friends or your family. And when you have personal good news, or get on Facebook and share it. There's lots of examples, like when you have family coming to visit, or you get yourself a new pet, or you're going on a trip, or maybe you won an award. There's lots of ways that you've got good news that you want to share. Now, Jesus gave this instruction to his disciples when he sent them out to tell others about God's kingdom, the healing and the miracles that had taken place. And he told them that as they went, they should preach the good news that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Having God's love in our lives is also good news. Your happiness about this good news may show itself in quiet ways, like how you treat others with kindness, or how you smile and laugh, and how you find thoughtful things to do for others. Now, we can proclaim the good news that God loves you and me. Now, they say that the mark of an educated mind is the ability to entertain opposing opinions. That is, the ability to keep an open mind and to appreciate the truth on both sides. Now, let me try to toss out an example here. Try this one for size. The Apostle Paul says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but that we are justified by God's grace as a gift. That's in Romans 3, 23 and 24. He says that our salvation is a free gift in Romans 5, 15, and 16. So Christians throughout the ages have proclaimed that we are saved by grace, that our salvation is dependent not on what we have done, but on what Christ has done for us. And that's why we use the word gospel, because gospel means good news. It means that salvation is free. We don't have to earn our way into heaven. And that's good because, well, let's face it, most of us couldn't even work our way into the Oval Office, not even as a guest, much less be the president. So look how we can work our way into heaven. Is that impossible? Well, Paul assures us that it isn't our good behavior that opens the doors to heaven. It's God's grace. That's good news. But that's just one side of the picture. There's also another side here. Jesus tells a story in our sermon text today about a rich man who went on a journey. Before departing, he divided his property among three servants. The amount of money that he left with these servants was really large. For simplicity's sake, we're going to say that he left one servant $5 million. The second servant, he left $2 million, and the third one, he left $1 million. While the master was gone, the $5 million servant invested his money and made more money. In fact, he doubled it. The $2 million servant did likewise, but that $1 million man there, he was afraid, so he buried the money in the ground for safekeeping. Now, when the master returned, the $5 million servant gave his $5 million plus $5 million more. And the master replied in verse 21 of our text today, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." The $2 million servant gave the master back his $2 million plus $2 million more. The master gave him the same kind of praise and promotion. But that $1 million servant says, kind of in effect, "I was afraid of losing your money, so I hid it. Here is your $1 million. The master rebukes that servant, had him thrown into the outer darkness because that servant had failed to use the money the master had entrusted into him. Christians throughout the ages have interpreted this parable to mean that God will hold us accountable for the ways that we use the gifts that he's given us. Those gifts include all sorts of things, the big three being money, time, and talent. In other words, our salvation depends, at least in part, on the ways that we use the gifts that God has given us. So that's the other side of the story. Now, the first side was God gives us salvation as a free gift. The second side is that God will hold us accountable for our actions. So we need to use what God has given us, whether that be money or time or talent or any other things. We've got to use it responsibly. Our salvation depends on it. At least that's the impression that Jesus gives us in this parable. So, who's right here? Is Paul right? Or is Jesus right? Or do they each represent an extreme position, but the truth is somewhere maybe in the middle? Or maybe they're both right. I don't know about you, but I'm reluctant to say that the Apostle Paul was wrong. I'm even more reluctant to say that Jesus was wrong. So I'll just say they're both right. But how can that be? It might help to note, while God is generous, He's very generous, more than generous, He's not a sucker. He wants to give us what we cannot earn. But He also wants our loyalty in return. So giving God our loyalty means trying to live as He would have us live. That means, at least in part, using well the gifts that He's given us. Now, in the parable of the talents here, the master showed great trust by leaving so much money in the care of three servants. The first servant honored that trust by using the master's money wisely. Likewise, the second servant did that too. The two servants respected the master. They knew what he wanted and did their best to give it to him. This third servant, though, acted quite differently. He acted differently because he felt differently towards the master. He didn't really respect the master. He didn't love the master. He feared the master. And he thought of the master as a hard man, even though the master had been generous to all three servants. The third servant here didn't care what the master wanted. So he didn't try to do what the master wanted. The third servant cared only about himself and his own life. So instead of using the master's money wisely, he buries it in a hole in the ground. He hoped to avoid the responsibility of sitting on the money and keeping it safe. But it didn't work. The master left the money to be used. He expected his servants to do something with the money, to make the world maybe a better place to live, or to make somebody happy, or even to put the money to work. Now, Jesus doesn't say what would have happened if the man had tried and failed. If he had, say, done his best, but had lost some of the money. I'm still confident that the master, who represents God here, would have been okay with that. See, God's able to see our hearts. God really cares more about what's in our hearts than what's in our hands. If that third servant had really tried to do the right thing, the master would have recognized and respected that. But he would have forgiven the servant for making a mistake. But to do nothing? Well, that's not acceptable. The master would have commended the servant if he had won. I believe that he would have even supported him if he had lost. But he had no patience with a servant who didn't even get up to bat. Now, while working on this sermon, I came across a little story that I'd like to share with you. It came from a book entitled Let's Live by Curtis Mitchell. Now, Mitchell tells the story of Miss Jones, an elderly spinster lady who lived in a small Midwestern town. And when Miss Jones died, the editor of the local paper wanted to say something very nice about her in the obituary column, but he was having trouble coming up with anything. Miss Jones had never caused any trouble, but it also seemed like she hadn't done much good either. So the editor learned that the man who sold tombstones was having the same problem. What could he put on the tombstone other than Miss Jones' name and the dates of her birth and death? The editor goes back to his office and assigns the project to a sports writer. The sports writer did a little research, but he could not find much that Miss Jones had ever done. So finally, he wrote this little verse that summarizes Miss Jones to a T. And so I'm told, if you were to visit the graveyard where Miss Jones is buried, you could read this on her tombstone. Here lies the bones of Nancy Jones, for her life held no terrors. She lived an old maid, she died an old maid, no hits, no runs, and no errors. See, the parable of the talents teaches us that God doesn't have much patience with a no hits, no runs, and no errors kind of life. He gives us things, money, time, talent, and other things as well, and he wants us to use those gifts to give him glory. He wants us to use those gifts to make the world a better place, and he wants us to use those gifts to help our neighbors. The parable of talents is found in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. In the next part of that chapter, which we will consider here soon, Jesus makes it clear that he wants us to use our money and our time and our talents to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, help the sick, and visit the prisoner. See, Jesus paints a very rosy picture of our future if we will do those things, and he paints a very bleak picture of our future if we don't. Let me close by asking three questions. Now, you don't have to answer it. You don't have to email me or make comments or anything. You don't even have to wave your hand in the air. Just listen to these three questions. Think about your answers during this next week here. First question is, what did God give you? Did he give you money, perhaps? You most likely aren't rich, but you've probably got a little money. Maybe time. As nearly as I can tell, we all have the same amount of time, 168 hours a week. Some of us will get more weeks and years than others, but each of us will have the same amount of time next week. What about talent? Some of us can sing. Others can cook. Some of us can chop wood. Others can push paper. Some of us can fix faucets. Some of us can heal broken hearts. Some of us can lead. Others can follow. God gave us all something which we can honor him, something for which we can make this world a better world. So the first question is, what did God give you? The second question is, what are you doing with those gifts? What are you doing to honor God? What are you doing to help other people? And the third question is, what could you be doing? What should you be doing? I can't answer that question for you. That's between you and God. But it's an important question. Your life could depend on it. What could you be doing? What should you be doing? Think about that this coming week. As John Shedd has commented, a ship in a harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are for. So also a silent Christian is safe, but that's not what Christians are for. We might add that Pearl Harbor proved that ships in a harbor aren't really safe after all, and this parable shows us that silent Christians are not really safe at all. This parable tells us that God will hold us accountable for what we've done and for what we have failed to do. That, of course, seems incompatible with the emphasis on grace that we find elsewhere in the New Testament. However, both judgment and grace are parts of God's plan. And yes, God will forgive us of our sins, and yes, he will hold us accountable. Someone has said, like I mentioned at the beginning, the mark of an educated mind is the ability to entertain opposing opinions, the ability to keep an open mind and to appreciate the truth on both sides. And that's what's needed here. Before I go, let me review the questions one last time. First, what has God given you? Second, what are you doing with it? And third, what could you be doing or what should you be doing? Think about those questions this week. The answers will tell you a great deal about your relationship to God, about your love for God, and about your Christian discipleship. And those questions have the potential to point your life in a new direction so that you can become a blessing to others, and so that you can truly experience God's blessings yourself. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us today, for shining your glory down on us, sharing your presence with us, letting us hear your voice, Lord. We just can't thank you enough for that, and we want you to be with us this next week. Be with us each and every day. Help us to know what it takes to be that not so silent Christian, that we can take the talents that you've given us and be able to expand them for your glory. We just thank you for being with us, Lord, and we just ask that you continue to be with us each and every day. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you all next week. Thank you.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. Beneath his wings securely hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Thank you.